Hit music.
Great content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
Hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going.
Good evening to all listeners. We thank God for another Saturday. It's always a privilege to come your way. I'm Eben, and from now till 9 p.m., I'll be with you as we go through some of the news, the events happening in the world. The world is not getting any better. It's not going to get any better. But as believers, we are assured, we know the God that we serve, that irrespective of the situations in the world, He is with us. So these are not things that should scare us. These are things that should give us hope and embolden us, and the fact that the Word of God is true. And I believe as we go through some of these things, it should encourage us to continue to be in the faith, because we are in the times when people are beginning to lose their faith, as the Bible said, the love of many growing cold. We are seeing all these things happening around us. But I believe as we keep listening to these things to encourage ourselves, it's going to help us to stay on track. The last few weeks we've been talking about deception. So like, this is the deception series, because there's so much happening in the body of Christ now. You hear things which sometimes makes you wonder whether is it really an intentional agenda that this person is on, or is lack of knowledge in the Word of God, or whatever, the devil is using him or her and all that. But at the end of the day, people are being deceived. So what do we do? Because the fact that if we deny that, people are not being deceived, is the biggest error we can make. And the Bible, Jesus said it himself in the Word of God, Matthew 24:11-24, from 4:5-11-24, all he talks about deception. There'll be false prophets. And what is the role of a false prophet if not to deceive, to mislead? So this is the times where we are in. And deception is also a form of withholding the truth, because if something is true and you withhold it, it becomes false. So withholding the truth in the times we are in is also something that we are seeing, because you can see that the Word of God is being wrongly divided. We are told to rightly divide the Word of truth, but we are also seeing the wrong translation, wrong interpretation, and wrong all sorts of teachings, which sometimes makes you wonder. I've said some of these things in previous editions, people telling their members that, for instance, Abraham is not the father of Isaac and all that. And it's like, wow. But the more you talk about these things, the more you keep hearing. So these are the things that makes us know that the Word of God is true. So we should just have to secure ourselves as believers, and that's the safest thing to do. All right, so let's get into the news. A lot has happened from last week Sunday till now. Last week we heard of the Iranian president, the helicopter coming down and he dying with his foreign minister, I think. And it's been, behind the scenes, there are some who are accused the U.S., actually some Iranian officials have accused U.S. that the sanctions plays on them is what has caused this, because they've been under sanctions, aviation sanctions, so they are not able to buy plane or aviation parts for old planes and helicopters and all that. And it's one of the reasons why this helicopter crashed. But, well, when it happened, the U.S. said, we have no hand in it. So Israel too came out. We have no hand, because it's like, people know it's, they are capable of, I mean, Israel is capable of doing it. U.S. is capable of doing it and all. But they came out to quickly, you know, absolve themselves from such attacks. Okay, so we have this first, this one is an interesting one regarding the Iranian president's death and some rabbis in Israel. I'm just quoting Divine Justice, ? Rabbis claim helicopter crash is God's punishment for Iran's Raisi, that's the name, the Raisi, President Raisi, following the emergency hard landing of Iran's President Ibrahim Raisi's helicopter in foggy conditions on Sunday. Various Israeli rabbis have publicly reacted with remarks that suggest divine intervention, reflecting deep-seated spiritual and confrontational views. So one rabbi said, starkly referred to Raisi as the hangman from Tehran, and condemned him in a post on Facebook for his antagonism towards Israel and the Jewish people. You know, various rabbis making statements to that effect. I am not surprised they are saying this, because I chanced upon this prophet in the U.S. He said it somewhere, April, in which the prophecy he gave was saying, as God was saying, the prophecy that God said he was going to cut the head off the Iranian regime off. He said it, I think, twice or so, and so I wasn't surprised when I saw this. It's like, I mean, the issue is, when you are dealing with Israel, it doesn't matter how modern the world has become. We are in a modern world, 2024, and so people struggle to connect the God factor to the realities of the time. But God doesn't go back on his promises. I mean, so far as Israel is the apple of his eye, it doesn't matter how many years down the line, it still stands. So if you think you are dealing with Israel and you are dealing with a modern Israel, not the Israel, the God of the Israel of the Bible is nowhere to be found, and we are in computer age, to forget about the Bible age type of Bible promise and all that, you'll be making a grave error, a very, very grave error. Because I remember years back on this edition, 8 years or seven, I mean, some years back on issues, I recounted various, if I find that document, I'll look for it and see if I find, but various instances where countries derided or criticized, condemned Israel for, at that time, one decision by, I think, Ariel Sharon or something, the prime minister, then Israel was expanding their building of their lands, like estates and all, to part of the Golan Heights. One of those issues. And there was widespread condemnation at the world level and all that. Various countries and the criticism and all, and the punishment that came on some of those countries post those statements through some earthquake, tidal waves and tsunamis and various instances, which clearly you could attribute to the fact that in one instance, I think one country, the number of apartments that Israel was building, that country, they lost times 1,000 in an earthquake. I mean, so you can see that there are spiritual aspects to various things we see in the world. The world is a spiritual world, whether we believe it or not. So for countries that still see Israel as just a normal entity they can attack and all that, well, they better be careful. China holds Taiwan war games and vows blood of independence forces. So China on Thursday encircled Taiwan with naval vessels and military aircraft in war games, and this spanned 2 days. This was after they sworn in the new prime minister or new president. And you know, it's quite interesting. China is really working all out to take over Taiwan. Then I'm sure some of you might have heard this, but if you haven't, the WHO, You know, they became very popular during the COVID. WHO is working on pandemic treaty. I don't know whether I've mentioned it here, but you know, this pandemic treaty, you can see that if you read excerpt of it, the agenda on the surface, you can see that these people have an agenda indeed. So, interestingly, this article says WHO's pandemic treaty and a bird flu crisis are both arriving at the same time. Yeah, this before. So, health officials are issuing very ominous warnings about the potential for H5N1 pandemic among humans, while the WHO is preparing for a vote on the global pandemic treaty at the 77th World Health Assembly at the end of this month. It actually starts 27th on Monday. So the global pandemic treaty will give the World Health Organization far more authority than it had during the last pandemic. And a lot of people are deeply concerned about how that power will be used during the next major health crisis. As you see, two human cases of the bird flu have just been confirmed. And in the bird flu, if the bird flu mutates to a form that can spread easily from human to human, that will create an enormous amount of fear, and the death toll could potentially be catastrophic. Already they've said, one WHO official said that they project it to be 1 in 5. So for every 5 humans who get it, 1 will die and all that. I mean, it's you know, they've started their game. They know how to play that game, you know, from COVID. You should know by now how they play that game. The fear button, press it and then push fear in people and everything follows. So this is the negotiators have been feverishly working to finalize the global pandemic treaty in recent weeks, and the following comes directly from the official WHO website. Governments of the world today agree to continue working on the proposed pandemic agreement and to refine the draft further ahead of the 77th World Health Assembly that starts 27th May 2024. And governments meeting at the WHO headquarters in Geneva agreed to resume hybrid and in-person discussions over coming weeks to advance the work on critical issues, including around a proposed new global system for pathogen access and benefits sharing. It goes on and on. But interestingly, yesterday, nearly half of all U.S. governors urged drastic change for Global Health Organization before new pandemic hits. So the Republican governors don't want WHO controlling health emergencies in their states. So 2 dozen Republican governors don't want the WHO to call the shots in the case of another global pandemic, according to a letter they sent to President Biden this week. Currently, there are 2 proposals under negotiation that would grant WHO, quote, unprecedented and unconstitutional authority in the U.S., according to the Republican Governors Association. The truth is, not only U.S., Ghana, and all the countries that are signatories to the WHO, and as to how this thing has not even come up in our parliament, I'm surprised, because, I mean, by now, this draft document should have been discussed at our parliament, for our parliament to ratify it before the government to ratify it at the WHO level. But, you know, in Africa, we just do things anyhow. By the time we realize the government has gone to ratify it without even bypassing our parliament, it's possible. But the content of this whole thing is so authoritarian, to the point where it's the WHO that will control whatever happens in your country. Your Ministry of Health has no say. Your Minister of Health has no say. It's more of a dictatorship from the world level, at the world level. I mean, and this is where some countries are already raising red flags, some politicians at the highest levels, because you can see the dictatorship rearing its head through the WHO. And it's just unfortunate, but that's how it is. Power and control, that's all they seek to do, you know. All right, so in the International Court of Justice, has ordered Israel to halt the Rafah offensive immediately. And this was just yesterday, they've issued that statement that Israel should not continue the Rafah operations. And Israel too has responded that they will continue. So there we go. you know, the world versus Israel. And Germany has warned that it will arrest Benjamin Netanyahu if he sets foot in the country. So Germany will arrest Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu if he enters the country amid allegations of war crimes by the International Criminal Court, a spokesperson has confirmed. Stefan Herbestreit, a spokesperson for German Chancellor Olaf Scholz, confirmed on Wednesday the country would abide by the law and arrest the under fire Israeli leader should he visit the EU nation. This comes after the British prosecutor Karim Khan announced on Monday that he is seeking warrants for Netanyahu, Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, and as well as three Hamas terror chiefs, including Yahya Sinwar and Ruler in Gaza, who masterminded the October 7th attack. You know, it's interesting and it's very bizarre how this whole thing is going against Israel. Because this week, three European countries have recognized Palestinian states, and this has left Israel very furious. So Norway, Ireland, Spain have recognized Palestinian states in a historic move. Irish Prime Minister Simon Harris said on Wednesday it was coordinated with Spain and Norway, an historic and important day for Palestine, says. Several other European countries have in the past weeks indicated that they plan to recognize Palestinian states, arguing two-state solution is essential for lasting peace in the region. And the U.S. is not happy with this move by some European nations. And, well, let's see how things play out. Then, this one says, adults who undergo transgender surgeries at 12 times higher risk of attempting suicide, according to the report. Okay. And I've been saying this, I mean, where there are countless reports and cases of those who do trans operations, change their gender and all that, are very suicidal and all that. Because, you see, we cannot outsmart God. We cannot be wiser than God. And it's very unfortunate how, you know, because various reports, there are some who want to, even after the transitioning, they want to go back detransition again, and they express dissatisfaction and they become depressed at the highest levels. They feel, you know, it's all about the body. I don't like my body, so let me change into this other body that I will like. And then you change into it and you realize you've been deceived. I mean, so you see, the devil just deceives them. Oh, your body, this is not the body, I'm good for you, change it. So they do the surgeries and all that. And then the so-called new bodies, they also don't like it after all. So you realize it's not a body thing. I mean, so then it's like you're a man, you've done all the major surgeries, now you realize that it was a mistake that you did. I mean, what next? So then suicide steps in, depression and all sorts of side effects, complications. Then, see, I mean, you just cannot play games with the devil and go scot-free. No. That's one thing people have to understand. If you play with the devil, you would pay a heavy price for it. And that's the ultimate game. I mean, he tricks, deceives, then ultimately hell, and that's what he's doing. You know, you see some news and you just wonder what is happening to the body of Christ. As to whether these churches are even part of the body of Christ is up for debate. But then you have historic German church hosts worship. I can't even believe what I'm reading. Historic German church hosts worship service featuring Taylor Swift music. You know, when I saw this evening, when I was working on the news item for this evening, I said, am I seeing right? Taylor Swift's music in church. But well, I saw it right and I'm reading it right. A centuries-old church in Germany drew more than 1,200 people on Sunday for worship services featuring the music of Taylor Swift. The Church of the Holy Spirit, we didn't credit also. Church of the Holy Spirit, a famous church in Heidelberg, Heidelberg in Germany, that meets in a 600-year-old building, put a service titled Anti-Hero, Taylor Swift Church Service. Over the weekend, in an effort to draw the interest of young people, according to the Deutsche Welle, DW, the quote, the Church of the Holy Spirit has always been a place of encounter and exchange. Okay, maybe used to. That's why pop music religious service fits so perfectly. Wow, unquote. Pastor Christoph Esselpen told the outlet. With it, we are giving space to the questions and issues that occupy the younger generation. The service focuses on supposedly strong Christian themes in Swift's music that address hot-button issues such as women's rights, racism, and gender equality, according to the pastor. Parish Pastor Vicento Patrica acknowledged that Swift has taken flack from some evangelical faith leaders for her music, especially in the U.S. Theologically speaking, the points she makes to the justness of God, Patrica said, adding that Swift's faith knows doubt and inner conflict. And then for her, faith and action are inseparable, he said. Two Sunday services in the historic church featured Swift tunes, which DW channel, that the Deutsche Welle noted, were attended by an audience that skewed young and female. A rainbow banner behind the musicians noted that the church welcomes all sizes, all colors, all cultures, all sexes, all beliefs, all religions, all ages, all types, and all people. Oh no. Whilst noting that the church was built for Gregorian liturgical music and not for Taylor Swift, Patrica maintained that he was moved by the response to the modern pop-themed service. I stared into beaming faces, and during the song that Taylor wrote for her cancer-stricken mother, many had tears in their eyes, he said, referring to the song Soon You'll Be Better. Swift's latest album, released last month, drew criticism from some Christian critics who claimed its lyrics features lyrical content that mocks God and Christians. Shane Prout, who serves as the National Next Generation Director for the Southern Baptist Convention's North American Mission Board and co-author of Calling Out the Cult, urged parents to seriously reconsider allowing their children to listen to Swift's music. I agree. I'm definitely not the minister or parent that has no secular music stance, Prout wrote in a Facebook post. Also, I fully recognize unbelievers are going to act like unbelievers. However, there is a difference between being secular and being anti-Christian. Former Boyzone star Shane Lynch recently accused Swift of implementing hidden satanic rituals in her sold-out shows. And this is where my problem is. The satanism, the witchcrafts that are openly displayed in her shows. There's one report or several reports of people getting blank minds after they attend the shows, where people, the youth will be interviewed, and they can't even recollect what happens. Like they've been hypnotized in her shows. And these things are associated with demonic powers and witchcraft spirits and all. Is it so? I mean, if you just, to say that you are playing this in church as a way of drawing people to church, then next week, what song will you play to keep them in church? Because if you use Taylor Swift to draw them in, then you need to keep going that way to keep the people in church. Because as soon as you start singing, "Come Holy Spirit," then the people will walk away because they didn't come there to come and listen to any spiritual things. They came only to be entertained. This is the sickness that is spreading in the body of Christ in some countries, where bringing entertainment into the church so that you can get the youth to stay. I mean, what an error. Because see, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that is needed to let the people stay in the church. If you cannot allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in the church, in the lives of the people, that will draw them to stay in the church, and you have to use human means and strategies, then clearly the church, the spirit has departed. Because I mean, it's now a pure human institution using human strategies. Even they are using human strategies on spiritual grounds, spiritual lines, which I bet, but this one purely, I mean, I'll call demonic lines, songs that are anti-Christian, have nothing to do with the faith. A world secular, purely anti-Christian singer who ridicules and makes fun. She claims she's a Christian, but says things and does things that clearly are at variance with the Christian faith, and openly does symbolism and things that align with, you know, as we know, the normal secular witchcrafts, I mean, singers and all that. She's doing all those things that they are doing and all that. And yet, a church says this is what we need to draw the youth into church. Wow, it's pathetic. Really, really pathetic. And then George Banner. I mean, a lot of the statistics I read, if you listen to this program, you know, I read a lot of reports on polls and statistics and all that. George Banner, his institution, does a lot of these research works. George Banner identifies biggest threats facing the church. And I like this because that's really an interesting thing. We've reached a time of Christian invisibility. So George Banner, a leading expert in church and worldview trends, has weighed in on some of the biggest issues facing the church, including the steady decrease in the biblical worldview and dwindling concern for spiritual formation at a time of Christian invisibility in our culture. In an interview with the Christian Post, the 69-year-old founder of the Banner Group, a market research firm specializing in studying Americans' religious beliefs and behaviors that he sold in 2009, said that over the last few decades, he's seen certain negative trends increasingly permeate Western Christianity. And I can boldly say that our Ghanaian Christianity is just akin to the Western Christianity. You know, people have become more selfish, churches have become less influential, pastors have become less Bible-centric, yes, which is true. Banner, who serves as the director of research at the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University, said, quotes families, and then quotes again, say that families have invested less of their time and energy in spiritual growth, particularly for their children. And the media now influences the church more than the church influences the media, or the culture, for that matter. The Christian body tends to get off track, arguing about a lot of things that really don't matter, unquote. On a wider scale, one of the most troubling trends Banner highlights is the decline in discipleship and lack of solid biblical training from seminaries. He criticized the prevalent metrics used by churches to gauge success, attendance, fundraising, and infrastructure, which he stressed have little to do with Jesus' mission. True. Yes, I agree. There is a poor leadership in seminaries that mislead local churches into thinking they are actually training individuals whom God has called to be leaders and are qualified to be leaders, and certifying them to lead local churches and not knowing any better, bringing them on, he said. Banner clarified that whilst many seminaries have good intentions, they set young ministry leaders up for failure. You get what you measure, he contended. So if you measure the wrong things, you get the wrong outcomes. Pastors measure how many people showed up, how much money they raise, how many programs they offer, how many staff persons they hire, how much square footage they built out. Jesus didn't die for any of that. So we are measuring the wrong stuff. And it's true. Subsequently, we get the wrong outcomes. To address these issues, Banner advocated for a radical return to biblical roots. But that, he said, might require rethinking the modern church structure. Quote, if we are going back to the Bible, I think we'll recognize the local church, the institutional church, as we've created it, is man-made. It's not in the scriptures, he said. The programs, the titles, the buildings, all the stuff that has become sacrosanct in American culture and around the world is not necessarily biblical. Jesus didn't come to build institutions. He came to build people. And we see that model in his life. He devoted the ministry portion of his life to investing in individuals. And that's what each of us are. And And that's what each of us who are followers of Christ need to be doing. Instead of focusing on programs and buildings, Banner, a father and grandfather, urge believers to invest in children whom he sees as the future of the church. This includes prioritizing spiritual education, modeling biblical principles, and creating accountability structures within the family. We make a huge mistake by simply using children as bait rather than as primary focus of who we want to build up through whatever ministry, impact, or influence we can have, he said. We need to back and recognize it. Sometimes with families, parents have the primary responsibility to raise their children to become spiritual champions. Local churches need to support parents in that endeavor. Our primary focus needs to be our children, or be on children and growing their biblical worldview. If we do not, we will be able to grow the 3% of adults who are disciples in America today to a larger proportion. Banner told the Christian Post, his journey into religious research began with a desire to fill a crucial gap he observed in the church's understanding of its own congregations. When I first got started, I was trying to figure out how I would add value to what was happening in the church across the country, he said. There didn't seem to be a lot of trend-oriented information relating to the depth of people's faith. Whilst existing data capture, church attendance, and Bible sales, Banner identified a need for insights into what people believe, why they believe it, and how these beliefs translate into actions. Over the years, Banner's focus on deeper, trend-based data has provided pastors with tools to foster more meaningful spiritual growth rather than simply tracking superficial metrics. And then the rise of AI. One trend Banner said he's also concerned about is the potential negative impact artificial intelligence, AI, will have on the church. We are already seeing an impact on sermons across the country, he said. Pastors, because they want to do well in some cases, they are lazy, realizing AI is a means of getting perhaps a better sermon. And that's very, 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 very serious. There are other ways that they are going to see it as its impacts. There are other ways that we are going to see it impact us in terms of fundraising, in terms of media presence, he continued. As the body of Christ, we've got to be very suspicious of and careful about anything that even labels itself as artificial. It's probably not good for our mental health, our physical health, or our spiritual health. I just encourage genuine leaders to be very cautious about inviting any of that into our lives, and particularly into how we are going to take that and then influence other people's lives. Banner also advised parents to approach AI and other media with strategy of monitoring, minimizing, mediating, and moralizing content to ensure it aligns with biblical values. Parents are the gatekeepers. Act like a leader. Take the lead and make the tough choices. Raising the spiritual champions, author said, make those tough choices in relationship to the vision that you have for what it means to be a parent of a spiritual champion. Banner said that today he is focused on worldview development and cultural development more than ever before. The church is at a critical juncture, he warned. And the path to thriving Christian community lies in returning to the core biblical principles, the empowerment of parents as spiritual leaders, and the intentional discipling of the next generation. All the other stuff is noise, he said. If we don't do those things, we are going to lose even more in this war. This is our moment. We've reached a time of Christian invisibility in our culture. What I'm seeing now is that we are getting to this place where the typical American will not have anyone in their circle of influence who has a biblical worldview. You are not going to be influenced with God's truth. The consequence of that is that the elites in our culture will have the opportunity to shut down spiritual freedom, he stressed. we will no longer be allowed to go to churches, we will no longer be allowed to buy and read the Bible, we will no longer be allowed to speak in public about our faith. Why? Because it all traces back to disciples, not making disciples. So this is a moment we either will put up or shut up. And I suggest that we put up. I agree with what he has said, because that's the reality on the ground. You know, I mean, unless we are ostriches pretending not to see that there's something wrong with the body of Christ, unless we pretend all is well. But the truth is, all is not well. And that's exactly what is, you know, our priorities are off. We are concerned about magnificent things, you know. I mean, churches are spending huge sums of money on media lighting and, you know, I mean, and you ask yourself, is this what we really need as the body of Christ? Colors, you know, colorful lights on the stage. What is the use of colorful lights on the stage and the Holy Spirit is absent? I mean, what is the use? I mean, what even amazes me the most is what you call the smoke machine. And then you see a Christian program, then smoke machine. And I like what someone said some time back, and it's very interesting. He said, if we have the true presence of God in the place, we don't need any smoke machine. And that's what we should seek and look for and crave for. The genuine presence of God. The genuine presence of God manifests. That's what we need. Not smoke machine. Smoke machine deceiving ourselves. What? The program was nice. Without the Holy Spirit, what's the use? You see, that, as I said earlier, the entertainment that we've brought in entertainment into the church as one way of leveraging on the desires of the youth who are largely canal these days. So this is what they want. If we don't do it, they are going to leave. If we don't entertain them, they will go to other churches who are going to do so. So let's also be like, I mean, this is what is happening. So by going this way, we are shaking on our responsibility, the real spiritual responsibility. We are compromising on standards. We are cutting corners just to let the church be fun-filled, you know, just so that the youth will be coming, the youth will be active. But is this what the church should be doing? You know, what Banner talks about is the reality. You know, now there's virtually no discipleship in most churches. So people become born again, but they are not discipled. So they are shallow. They are not Bible-based, word-based. They just don't know anything. You talk to the average youth in the church today, and it's pathetic. They know next to nothing. You see, that's why a series like this, Deception, when I'm on, is important, because deception, as I said earlier, deception thrives on ignorance. You see, because people have little or no word in them, the deception is thriving, but the people are shallow. They don't know anything. So just tell them what they want to hear and they believe it. They won't question it. They won't go and do their own Bible study to confirm, like the people in the church in Berea and all that. You see, so the church is just having the numbers. We are interested in the numbers. Of course, the numbers translate into money and all. But at the end of the day, if you are really looking for the quality, you realize that something is lacking. So now we can boast of the numbers, quantity, but not quality. And I believe this is where the problem lies. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. I'll be back. Let's listen to Chris Tomlin.
Your name is the greatest. Your name.
wonderful music by Chris Tomlin, Holy Forever. All right, that's a quick announcement. Join the John the Baptist Evangelistic Ministries and John the Baptist Evangelistic Ministries presents evangelism training program for Christians to become soul winners. And the next edition, opening dates 2nd June to 28th July, and it's Sundays, only Sunday afternoons, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. And this location is the stadium Sobolo. So call 0245 153168, 0245 153168. John the Baptist Evangelistic Ministries. The last edition, I had Madame Alice in the studio and we spoke and she talked about it. So, you know, they do it twice a year. So the next, is it twice? Yeah, I think so. But then the next edition, so for those who are interested, 0245153168. Madame Alice, contact her for the registration. All right, so thank you for tuning in. The station, Spirit 88.3 FM, the program, Issues of Life. Okay, so let's get into what we've been talking about, the deception. And so we are looking at, we've looked at the, we should be careful how we trust in man. That's the first point in, you know, protecting ourselves. And we should study the Bible ourselves to be Bible students. Then the third one is that we need discernment. Yeah, we need discernment. We get it from the Word of God as well as the gift of discernment. Then the fourth one is the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us. He's the Spirit of truth and all that we need. So tonight, briefly, the fifth strategy we need to confront deception is wisdom. You know, the reason why we need all these things and many more as we'll be talking as the weeks go by, is the deception comes from comes in various ways and various strategies. So you don't just, it's not just one formula for all, but there are some which just simple wisdom can tell you that this one, I mean, you are just being deceived. You don't need any high level spiritual discernment or manifestation of the Holy Spirit before you know that this one you had been deceived. Just wisdom, just simple wisdom is enough. Because you see, it's clear that this person, what the person is saying, even aside the spiritual aspects, even it doesn't make sense. And yet you have people who are nodding their heads and are saying wow, and I mean all sorts of, you ask yourself, so are people not thinking again? Does it mean if you sit in a church and a pastor is preaching or a prophet is saying, and it's like you can't even think yourself to ask yourself, is this real? Is this correct? Is this true? Basic thinking, it's like you realize some people are lacking it, and we need it. Because you see, it's important, because sometimes when you read the comments of believers who love these, you know, deceivers, their followers, you can clearly see that no, there's lack of wisdom. There's lack of wisdom, you know. And the reason why this is serious is when you can't apply wisdom at the basic level, then when things become complex, then you are in trouble. You are in trouble, because you see, sometimes for those who love these people, they'll tell you that the person preaches the truth. So even when he has said something that is not the truth, they see nothing wrong with it. I mean, this is lack of wisdom. So you see that this is a lie. You know that, you confirm and agree that this is a lie, but you don't see it as a problem, because this pastor says the truth. So what you say, it doesn't matter. Let's take it like that. I mean, how? But this is sometimes the logic that they put across. You see, so this is lack of wisdom, because you see the person has lied to you, you agree he has lied to you, you know he has lied to you, and yet you see nothing wrong with the lie, then you have a problem. And it's the problem of wisdom. You see, so they will still say that they know this pastor. I mean, there's one such popular Nigerian one. I mean, he trends sometimes with all sorts of abominable statements and heresies and all that. You know, this week I saw one saying that God never gets angry and God never got angry in the Bible. It's like, who is this man? I mean, is it that he's intentionally saying this or he's ignorant? I mean, look, go to the book of, the early books, Exodus, Deuteronomy, all the number of times God got angry, so many times, it's all stated there. Instance where even Moses had to, cool God down, calm him. I mean, all this is written in the Bible. The anger of the Lord kindled, all these verses are there. And yet you have a pastor saying that God never got angry in the Bible. And God never gets angry. You see, and when he says this, and it's like, come on. You see, when you know you've read the Bible, you know the word or something. Even when you are not even high up there, but you just common sense alone will tell you that. Even an unbeliever will tell you that, Master, this one there. Even an unbeliever can know that what you are saying, it's wrong, because to say God doesn't get angry, I mean, how? But you see, he says, or he and his type, they just say things and go scot-free because they know that their followers are dummies who won't question, who just believe whatever they say. Even when they are told the truth, they will still follow them, because they know that their followers lack wisdom. They know it, so they don't care. They will just say, they will keep saying errors, heresies, because they know their followers will still follow them. You see, this is why we need wisdom. We need wisdom. And you see, it's important because, I mean, when we have instances where people are just saying things which clearly lack biblical validation, and you know that this one, common sense will tell you that this cannot be so. You need wisdom to validate your reason why you are saying, or why you are leaving the place, or why you are doing what you are doing. So we need wisdom. We just cannot follow things blindly just because we are spiritual beings, we are in the church, we are Christians, so whatever you are told to do or whatever preaching you hear, you just believe it just because you have to believe it. No. There's a reason why God also expects us to use the brains he's giving us. The fact that you have someone leading you does not mean you should also just follow blindly. We just shouldn't follow blindly because we are followers. You see, so wisdom is needed, and it's so important, because lack of wisdom is being seen in various ways in the body of Christ, in some instances where you ask yourself, how? But that is it. Recently, I saw one listener sent me a video this week or so, and a pastor is saying the book of life has been closed. The book of life has been closed. If it's been closed, why has Jesus not come? As simple as that. If the book of life has been closed, what are we doing here now? And he says this, and as free, he has said it. But people follow him, and he has a church that people go. You ask yourself, why? How will people follow and believe such a thing? Let's even put the Bible aside. Let's even not use biblical reference or validation. This is where the wisdom comes in. He tells you the book of life is closed, and we are still here. Jesus hasn't come. So now, what are we doing now? What are we waiting for? What is this waiting period? If the book is closed, then what is the use of the extended period that we are waiting? Doing what? This is wisdom. This is simple. But you see, because people are lacking it in the body of Christ, they know that when they say this, nobody will question them. So they will say it and go scot-free. You see, so people are being deceived. Some people are being deceived because they are lacking wisdom. If they are to start thinking, not even they don't know the Bible, just wisdom, it's enough to at least minimize the risk of falling into some level of deception. Just wisdom. Wisdom. And it's sad. It's sad. I mean, you hear things and it's like, how? But it's like, people are just not ready to think a little bit. So, because a man of God has said it, that is it. So even when the thing, you know, if you tell a child will ask, how can that be? And yet an adult will be told the same thing. But because the person is so blinded with following a leader, somebody, I mean, they just follow without asking a question. This is why we should be careful. Because the deception is there. I mean, it's so rampant, it's so common. But tomorrow, Sunday, all these churches where people are being deceived, people will be going. As we talk now, somebody's ironing, getting ready to go tomorrow to be deceived. That's how serious it is. You see, so it's like there are people who they just don't care. We'll go. You can say whatever you want, we'll still go. But at least for those who are listening to this program and who will be listening online and all the subsequently and all that, at least let's put in these various strategies in place. Let's guard our hearts, guard ourselves, protect ourselves, our families, because the deception is real. It's going to get even more serious and intense as the times go on. And that's the least we can do. If Jesus says many will be deceived, the love of many will grow cold, there will be a falling away, as 2 Thessalonians talks about and all. I mean, when you see all these warnings, the safest thing is to ensure that you guard yourself and protect yourself from the pending danger, because if Jesus says many will be deceived, it presupposes that majority are going to be deceived. So why would you want to allow yourself to be about the majority? We have to ensure that we remain in the minority who would escape deception. And that is the reason why I'm talking about this. And I believe this evening you've learned something. It's been recorded. It will be uploaded to spiritissues.info and in the Telegram later on. Thank you for listening. And I believe as we go on in these times, one prayer we should pray, and it's one of the important prayers in our times. We need wisdom in these times. We need a type of wisdom for these end times. And James 1:5, I mean, if we lack wisdom, we should ask. And we need that wisdom. You know, Ephesians 1:17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We need this wisdom in the knowledge of him. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. There are many who are in Christ, but they lack wisdom in the knowledge of the Christ they claim to be following. We shouldn't be caught in that trap. And I believe as we rely on the Holy Spirit, he himself will guide us. He will give us the needed wisdom as we avail ourselves, because the Holy Spirit will not force wisdom on you by force. Get it? No. If you are not interested in wisdom, you don't like wisdom, I mean, it's a choice. So you should desire to have wisdom, and then you can operate in it and work in it. And I believe that's an important and essential thing that we should do. All right, so good night and God bless you.
You won the chance to have God answer any question you ask.
Yes, I did.
What are you going to ask?
Why do your shoestrings only break when you're in a hurry? You know how that is. You're late for an interview.
Wait, that's it?
Yeah.
You can ask God anything. Why don't you ask him something profound, like, what's the meaning of life?
I thought about that, but that was answered through King Solomon in the Bible.
Oh, well then how about, why do bad things happen to good people?
The book of Job answers that. I wanted to ask something the Bible doesn't address.
What about, what does God want you to do?
The book of John, chapter 6. I tell you, with all the answers the Bible has, reading it is like having God right there in your living room. The thing I didn't see addressed was shoestrings.
Oh, okay. By the way, stressful situations cause you to use excessive force. Thus, you break your shoestrings.
Fine. Now I have to come up with another question.
Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Great content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
This morning, with the assembly now, they say DHI College of Health and Education, you're calling new level. I hear dispensing technician program. A bit to me, lead you. No, I higher programs are doing in Nervi. I say, yeah, early grade education program. A affiliated to University of Education, Winneba. Open your degree, CCA. Diagnostic medical sonography, a friend scan, CAV, and of laboratory technology. I say programs when you know. You want weekends, you want regular, every year. DHI College of Health and Education, your chief crying on your best and tossing runabout, frame 0508-617-995 and 0244-213-187. Se say die, mo ho pesa mo ye short courses, e coverage e kwa ye adwuma gi sika fudu ogu moto mo na taju fo wa. Mo ati aso de. Die tie ne say DHI College of Health and Education over the Omowa or some bro, ve ye short courses si ya ni we wi. E bi to say healthcare assistant, laboratory technology, metal phlebotomy, sterilized technician, accounting software. Bro DHI College of Health and Education, ni yan a simple crown for ma. DHI College of Health and Education. Your chief crying on your best and tossing runabout from 0307-020-844.
From London, UK, you are about to listen to King's Connect with God's servant Bishop James Nanjo of Restoration City Church, London location. He is a global missionary voice, an apostolic agent of world outreach, the author of over 120 books, and facilitator of School of Fresh Oil. Get ready to host God's presence as we receive the apostolic teachings of Bishop James Nanjo.
My name is Amelia. Before I started listening to Bishop James Nanjo's ministry, I was merely going to church as a routine. But through his powerful teachings, I realized that there's so much more to faith than just attending services. His compassionate approach and deep understanding of God's love transformed my perspective, and now I experience a profound connection with God every time I worship. I am forever grateful that God connected me to this amazing ministry, and I know that anyone that connects with this anointing shall likewise be blessed.
Hello, friend. Bishop James Nanjo here. The body of Christ is in dire need of easy-to-access, soul-stirring teachings for spiritual growth and ministry work. I am so glad for this connection. Be blessed and spread the news.
When we talk about the essentials of discipleship, we're speaking about the some absolute necessities
some absolute necessary requirements for discipleship mandate. And without those requirements, without them, discipleship becomes a struggle. They are indispensable. These requirements are indispensable in the whole concept of making a disciple. In making a disciple, there are some essentials, and those essentials are indispensable in the whole concept of making a disciple. I pray for you in the name of Jesus that as God continues to build your life, no weapon, no power formed against you shall prosper. That is why it's a game changer. Because you see, many have served God, and when they came to Jesus, they were thinking about a car. They were thinking about marriage. They were thinking about money. They were thinking about their own life, material things, comfort, peace. All that is good. But you see, those things are not discipleship. They are not part of the essentials of discipleship. You may not have money and yet you are a growing disciple. You may not have a car and yet you are a growing disciple. But I believe and I pray that as you grow into discipleship, as we had explained from the beginning, it encompasses all those areas. You also become a disciple in some of those basic areas that are required for your everyday needs to live. So discipleship is vast, it's huge, and it's massive. But it's important to understand what are the essentials. And these are the things we are looking into. The journey of discipleship cannot be a success. It can't be a success without some vital keys. And these keys are required to open. At every dimension, every level, some doors must open. Every dimension, every level, some doors, some gates must open to guarantee and to grant you effective access into revelation that commands a revolution for unstoppable growth, for unstoppable lifting. When you exhaust one level and you step another level and you don't have all the requirements necessary to push you, you get exhausted there. And sometimes people can fall from a higher level to a lower level where someone is looking up to them, because where they got to, they lack the keys and they lack the essential tools to push them to the next dimension their soul and their spirit is craving for, that heaven has ordained for their lives. These are the things that many believers do not understand. One of the things you have to know, number one, is that in the looking at the essentials of discipleship, one key thing we have to look before we proceed is continuity. 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 When you become a child of God, when you become born again, when you join the church, when you give your life to Jesus, it should be in your dream, it should be in your views, it should be in your desire that you want to continue in God. You want to continue in Jesus. You know, some want to continue in their marriage, others want to continue in their business, others want to continue in their relationships, in their friendships. All that is not bad. But the key thing is you have to continue in God. Continuity is a key. We can't proceed to look into all the essentials if you miss this whole mentality and the mindset of I must continue. In Acts chapter 2:41, wherever you are, tell your friends to connect. It's key. It's key. If you want to be buoyant and flourish, no matter who you are and what level you are, I keep thanking God for Restoration City Church, because this is a terrain where people continue. Continuity. I like that. The Bible said in Acts 2:41, and they that gladly receive his word were baptized, and the same day, Acts chapter 2, the verse number 41, give me 42. Acts 2:42. Bible said, and they continued. In fact, go to 41 to just build the case there. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. That is, they became born again. They received the word of God and they were affirmed and confirmed into the faith. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That is jubilation. That's excitement. Awesome. 1, 2, 3, up to 3,000. But look at what they did. Whether it's one soul, 2, 3, 4, 3,000, 50, 60,000, 1 million. Look at what they did in Acts 2:42. The Bible said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers. They continued steadfastly. They continued. They did not waver. They did not stop. They did not become stagnant. They did not turn unto something else. They continued steadfastly in the doctrine of the word of God. This is what craving disciples, longing disciples, men and women that desires to step into a new pedestal in their walk with God. This is what they do. They, after becoming born again, after giving their life to Jesus, after getting established in a local church like Restoration City Church or any other church in your city, what they decide or purpose to do is, I want to continue in the faith. I want to continue in the things of God. I want to continue in the will of God. I want to continue. They continue to continue in His word. They continue to continue. It means they remained. They remained. They remained steadfastly in the word. They remained steadfastly in God. It means they abide. You continue means you abide. They abide. They abide. They held fast. It means holding fast unto what you have received. They held fast unto God's word. They held fast unto serving God. They held fast unto His teachings. They held fast. They held fast. One of the things you have to know, child of God, which is very important, if you are going to be an effective, powerful, trailblazing disciple, don't continue in your ways. Don't continue in your views. Don't continue in your perceptions. Don't continue in the carnal way. Don't continue in your ideologies. No, don't continue in your comfort zones. People come to Jesus. People join the local church. People surrender their life to Christ. And they want to bend, you know, the word of God so they can continue in their own ways. I understand your battle. I understand your conflicts. I understand, because the Bible talks about it. The things I don't want to do, I find myself doing them. And the things I have to do, I see that I'm doing something different. Paul talked about the conflict of the sinful nature fighting against the righteous man. But in the midst of that, you have to understand this secret. You are born again, a disciple. And the way you get it is you continue in the teachings of the word. You continue in the doctrine of the word. You continue in the way of the Lord. You don't continue in your ways. You don't continue in your views. You don't continue in your comfort zone. The conflict we have is many Christians who mean well never have come to that place of thinking that much of the ways they do it is they invade the whole process. You have to step aside and let the Holy Ghost, by the word of God, through the essentials of discipleship, help you to continue. I pray for you in the name of Jesus that you will become that man, that woman that is desiring, willing to continue. In the book of John, chapter 8, verse number 31. John 8, verse number 31. Becoming a disciple is a joyful thing. It's a great day and it's an amazing time to see that believers everywhere are increasingly desiring and longing to grow as disciples. John 8, the verse number 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe in him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. It's straightforward. If you continue in my word, John 8:31. If you continue in my word, you are my disciple. You are my disciples indeed. Affirm, confirm. If you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, it doesn't matter where you find yourself. Listen to me. Many Christians are yet to tap into the honey and the milk level of worshiping and walking with God. When I talk about the honey, the dimension of the sweetness, the milk, they have not even yet started. The reason is because many people have not come to the realm of continuing. The interruptions are too much. And I'm going to be showing you in this teaching, if you can avert the interruptions, if your heart can be open to understand that there are essentials of discipleship, and as much as you abide and open yourself to these essentials, your life is going to enjoy an unlimited, irreversible, breakthrough discipleship Christian life. You belong to the age of supernatural saints, anointed believer, and discipleship is the key. Jesus said, if you are one of mine, if you are one of mine, if you are a believer, if you are a Christian, continue in my word. So in discipleship, what we do is we continue in the word of God. We abide in the teachings of the word. We stay in the teachings. We keep hold. We hold fast unto the teachings of the word of God. In the book of 2 John 1, the verse number 9. 2 John 1, the verse number 9. So you get in the concept that moving on, you must continue. Don't become born again and stop. Don't step into the church and stop. Or else soon the joy with which you started, the enthusiasm with which you started, the celebration with which you started, it will start going down. And then people, you will meet people that will lie to you and tell you that is how it is. It goes up and it comes down. Don't worry. When you fall, you rise up. When you fall, you rise up. Listen to me carefully. You can serve God with an unstoppable speed, with a supersonic speed, with breakthrough speed that cannot be stopped.
For more information and contact with Bishop James Nanjo Global Ministry and Publications, you can make contact at our social media platforms. The handler name is James Nanjo for the following: Facebook, Instagram, X, TikTok, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Get connected today.
You can become that disciple who understands how this thing works. Your destiny is forward ever and never going backward. Your destiny is going up. You want to go to heaven? This is how you go to heaven. You don't go to heaven downwards. You go to heaven upwards. So when you come to him and you continue upwards, upwards. The songwriter said, I'm pressing on the upward way, and new grounds I'm gaining every time. New grounds. As I press on the upward way, I keep gaining new grounds. And then he said, Lord, lift me up and let me stand. Lift me up, O Lord, and let me stand. I speak over your life in the name of Jesus, that you will not allow any man or any woman, any voice, any ideology, you will not allow anyone's experience to interfere with this amazing grace, with this greatest, powerful spiritual civilization that God has brought to the church, that you can become a disciple. You are born again to grow. You are born again to become strong. You are born again to be established. You are born again to be a disciple. I decree by the power of God that that is your portion. Wherever you are, make that declaration. I am born again to grow up. Yes, yes, yes. Sometimes people look at you and say, grow up, grow up, grow up. I am born again to grow up. I'm not born again to grow down. I am a new creation to rise up. In 2 John 1, 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abide in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. You see, the way we abide, the way we continue is we abide in the word of God. We abide, we stay in the doctrine of Christ. That's what he's saying. That we abide, we continue in the doctrine. We don't continue in some philosophies and ideologies and some kind of practices that sounds good, that looks good, that may not be anti-Christ, but they look good, they look great. And that is the trouble that many believers are going through today. People want to push the word of God to fit a certain status quo of the way they think. But hear me carefully. We have to continue. Every disciple must continue in the word. You have to make that decree. I feel some way. I have some views and I think a certain way. But yet responsibility is laid on me. That is how you should think. Responsibility is laid on me to continue in the word. It's a transgression to not abide and continue in God's word. It is. It's a transgression. God's desire and demand is you must continue in the word. I make a decree wherever you are, sister, brother. You are the shock about to move through the earth. I say you are that shock about to move through the nations of the earth, because continuity is with you. You remain, you will abide, you hold fast to the word of God, to the teachings of Christ. You will not center, you will not continue in your views, in your ways, and in your comfort zone. There are some things that are very, very important. They are essentials in discipleship. I'll mention a few and I'll proceed, and maybe I may add one or two. One of them is the shepherd, the other is the sheep, and then the next is feeding, right? So the shepherd is essential, the sheep is essential, feeding is essential. When I talk about a shepherd, I'm talking about a discipler. When I talk about a sheep, I'm talking about a disciple. And when I talk about feeding, I'm talking about what is in between them. In between the shepherd and the sheep, what happens is feeding. And so, this is very essential. In John chapter 10, the verse number 1. John 10, from the verse number 1. I may not read the whole, but there are some good pieces, powerful scriptures here that will help you open your eyes. Keep telling your friends to connect. John 10, the verse number 1. Verily I say unto you, he that entered not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbed up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Number 2. But he that entered in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He that entered by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. This is just giving you an ideology of who a shepherd is and what kind of shepherd. You know, they come through the door of the word of God. And when a shepherd is shepherding sheep, and the shepherd is coming to, you know, feed or coming to see the well-being of the sheep, hardly will the shepherd climb through over the door to enter or climb over the roof. No, no. The shepherd is too comfortable. The shepherd comes through the door, because the shepherd is not coming to steal. The shepherd is coming to feed. So you are just getting an idea of what it means. I speak by the power of the Holy Ghost that these revelations will become relevant to your spirit, man. Number 2, the Bible said. Number 3, the Bible said. To him, let me just move on, because it's a lot of things we have to look at. Okay? It's a lot of things we have to look at. Let's go to number 5. You can read the whole, but number 5 for the sake of time. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of strangers. Let me look at number 4. He said, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They know his voice. When he takes his sheep up, the sheep follows him. When he takes his sheep up, the sheep follows him, for the sheep knows his voice. And he said, a stranger's voice and a stranger, number 5, will they not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of a stranger. This is the conflict of discipleship. In discipleship, sometimes there will come the conflict of voices. A conflict of voices. And that is what is happening to many believers. Now, people who are not shepherds are trying to behave like shepherds. People who are not shepherds are trying to talk like shepherds. The fact that you have some, you know, wisdom that God has given to you, and You can talk and you can express yourself and you can analyze and apprehend things. Does not qualify you to be a shepherd. It's important to understand this. You are not foolish. You can think you are wise, but shepherding is what God makes, what God gives. And we've established that fact in Ephesians chapter 4 from 11. That when he ascended on high, he gave unto men gifts. He made some apostles. He made some prophets. He made some teachers, evangelists, pastors for the perfecting of the saints, for the edification of the saints, for the building of the work of God. Now, these are the shepherds. These are the shepherds. And God uses the fivefold ministry to raise other men and women to operate not in the office, but in the practice, in the manifestation, and in the exercises of the grace, in the exercising of the grace of shepherding. And so we have them all over. They are shepherds. But it's important to understand that the sheep does not follow non-shepherds. So there is following between the sheep and the shepherd. There must be a following to impact the feeding. It's important. There must be a following. And so you can never be a sheep without a shepherd. A sheep without a shepherd is dangerous. Listen to me carefully. It's good to be a Christian. It's great to love God. But when you become a believer and you don't have a shepherd, you can soon become a problem for the body of Christ. That is what is happening. When there are no shepherds, or when you don't submit to a shepherd, it impacts and affects your feeding process. I pray you will understand how God has packaged it. John chapter 10, the verse number 14. A shepherd is key. Why? Because he said the shepherd leads them out and they follow the shepherd. A stranger's voice they will follow. Many forces are seeking to tear you out of the church. Many forces are seeking to tear you out of Christ. Many voices, I'm telling you, are seeking to tear you out, to pull you away. You have to be careful. You have to be strong. You have to continue in the word. Don't give in. We are moving in a path where God is going to raise global Bible study missionaries who are going to be shepherds. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God will begin to move in your life, that the grace of God will become strong upon you, that you will become that brother, that sister. Don't let anyone underestimate you. Don't let anyone interfere with your progression. You carry what it takes. It doesn't matter when you became born again. We have what it takes. We have the tools, the instruments to build you and to help you. But I will show you, because when the sheep complies, it reinforces the grace on the shepherds to help them to grow. Sheep don't just grow. People don't just get discipled. There are